Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. On the program today, we have Sergeant Tom Graham. He's from the jail. He's involved in operations. And you're sort of like a guru to me, by the way.
But Okay, thank you.
We're going to talk more to him about everything he does for the Lincoln County Sheriff's Department. And I think you're going to find it very interesting. He's a very knowledgeable individual about correction science and management. So we'll be with him in just a moment. I would like to take your attention to Lincoln County's homepage. I try and keep this up to date with what's new and the latest news. And one of the things you'll always find there is a link to the agenda for the weekly Board of Commissioners meeting. And this week, like most weeks, at 9:30 a.m. in room 108, the Board of Commissioners will have their weekly meeting. And a few things I'd like to highlight for you. We'll have a discussion and information from Kyle Williams, Oregon Department of Forestry. He comes and visits us occasionally. And lands classified as forest land are essentially determine the district of the Oregon Department of Forestry and where they have fire protection responsibilities. And so if you're in those boundaries or not, this would be important to you to hear what Kyle has to say, and that should be interesting. Also, Martha Lyons, she's the director of Community Services Consortium, and CSC has a big presence in our community. She comes pretty frequently and gives an update about the kinds of things CSC is doing. So she'll be in the program as well, and we're looking forward to having her come to the Board of Commissioners meeting. I think without further ado, we'll just kind of jump into this interview with Tom, because Tom, I know there's just so much to talk about, and it's going to go by really fast, and sometimes I go on about these other things, but I'd really like to plug your brain as much as we possibly can. So, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Casey, for having me.
So, how are things going?
They're going really well. You know, the jail continues to operate, and we continue to incarcerate.
Well, I guess, you know, my first opportunity to meet you as kind of a newbie to the county was Leadership Lincoln. And, you know, do you remember that?
I remember that, yes. That was a great program. I met a lot of great people during that session.
It really was. It's a great networking opportunity. And you'd given a presentation. And I thought, man, this guy is just really smart. I wish I was smart as that guy, is what I was thinking. And you made an impression on me then. And then we had a presentation to the kids. They got to tour the jail. And that's an annual event, I think, isn't it, for grade schoolers?
We have actually several age groups that come in, and we do a presentation to them about what it means to be in jail and how a jail operates and how you get there. And then we also take the opportunity to talk to them about how you stay out of jail. And, you know, and that includes having even an inmate come down and talk to them about their life experiences.
Well, you had spoken to and addressed the kids there, and I was really impressed with that. And also, you did a recent presentation at the Breaking Barriers.
Correct. Yes.
Breaking Barriers, another program that you have in there. You know, and speaking of the kids, I noticed there seems to be a new national program on where kids are getting to visit correctional facilities. Have you caught that on TV?
Yes, I caught that on TV, yes.
And did you happen to watch it at all, by the way?
If you're referring to the equivalent of, I think, Scared Straight to the Extreme.
Is
yes,
that what
I
it is?
I caught little portions of it, yes.
Well, I didn't get to see it. I saw an advertisement for it in a magazine, and I was just curious about how that might be going because, you know, I think at some point here we should discuss the difference maybe between, you know, or maybe we can get into that, Tom, you know, people's perceptions of our jail. I mean, what are your experiences for these many years? I mean, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been in corrections nearly 20 years. I started actually in the Oregon prison system, worked there for a little over a year, and then took the opportunity to
come. So you've seen the state system?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I've worked in all levels of the state system. In that short year, I actually worked in a maximum security facility and then ended up finishing up in a minimum security work camp. So I had the opportunity to learn a lot in 1 year.
And did you come to Lincoln County after that?
I did. I actually had the opportunity to come to work for Lincoln County. The new jail was opening. They were hiring a mass of people, of course, to operate it. And so I started on the first day the new jail went into operation.
So, you know, at the Christmas party and you tell someone you're in correctional sciences, does that ring a bell with them? Or what term most resonates with them when they, you know, when you try and put it in perspective about what you do for a living?
Well, you know, most people encounter law enforcement in the community. You know, they may be pulled over by a policeman at some point for a traffic violation, or maybe they need to file a complaint. Something happened in their house, a burglary, or the dog barking next door. So most citizens have had some sort of experience with law enforcement. Unfortunately, that's not true of jail, and that's a positive. Most people don't go to jail and to prison. So we're like an unknown. We're just the box that sits in the middle of town, and there are inmates in there. But I find that most people really don't understand what happens in jails and prisons.
With these programs that are very popular on television, you'd mentioned that we're looking at the most intense facilities. Are there any things from those programs that people might find overlap with our local jail?
Well, yeah, the television shows, of course, are targeting some of the roughest jails and prisons in the country because they need the drama for ratings, obviously. But when I watch those shows, I go, yeah, we have that. Or yes, that occurs. It just happens on a smaller scale because, of course, we're a smaller facility. But the staff that work in the jail deal with many of those situations on a daily basis, the types of attitudes and beliefs that these people have that come out during these shows, the attitudes about being in prison and it's us against the guards or us against the correction staff. That does exist, and it does exist in our Lincoln County Jail.
So we're looking in those programs sometimes at really the most dangerous or crazy individuals. I mean, it's not like that all the time. I mean,
correct. Yeah, we're not constantly running around having physical confrontations with inmates.
Right.
I would say the largest percentage of our time is spent actually dealing with the daily maintenance and operations facility, moving inmates to their recreation time, making sure that they have food and clothing, and making sure that they're through their court date. And then taking the time to sit down and counsel them and help them with decision-making because, even when in jail, there are rules and they have to follow them.
My recent visit to your building bridges, breaking barriers.
Breaking barriers,
yeah. I don't know why I get building bridges, but the breaking barriers class, I was really moved by the experience. And just to give a quick background from what I saw was that inmates attend, it looks like a four-day class.
Yes, it's 4 days.
4 days, and really learning some cognitive skills. What do you call the basic coursework that an inmate learns in this particular class?
Well, that's exactly. We're looking at the cognitive behaviors. We can be addicts, we can be thieves, and as just general citizens, we can be rule breakers. We're challenged in life, and it's all based around how we think. We're all willing to accept different levels of consequences. The only difference between the average citizen and inmate, he's willing to accept the consequences of going to jail. So he's willing to break the more serious crimes. And we want to get into their minds and help them dissect what that thinking is. Why do you make that decision that leads to your arrest? Why have you continued on this path? And then we also want to provide them with the tools to sit there and evaluate and choose a different path. Once they understand why they think the way they do, they can slow down and make a different decision. And sometimes that's just taking that moment to think, wow, I'm about to do this thing again out of automation. I need to change my course. I need to turn the steering wheel just about 15 degrees the other direction.
You usually you have different guest speakers, it sounds like.
Yes.
But you happen to be one on that particular day.
Yes.
And obviously you've got a presentation, but I know you really believe what you're doing, that you present. And I just was going, wow, we don't get this in school. I don't remember anyone even telling me this in school. Gosh, this is important to really say, you have choices. You make choices. They come from within. A lot of people don't even really get that, whether they're in, happen to go through incarceration or not.
I have the benefit because I've actually been through breaking barriers several times. Early on in my career, we were bringing it to the jail, and so part of it, we started sending staff through it, and I enjoyed it so much that I actually became a facilitator for it, and then later on a master facilitator where I could, I guess in essence, license other people to teach the course. I believed in it that strongly, because I felt how it impacted my life. Mm-hmm. I started making different decisions in, how I exercised or how I treated human beings or, what was on my belief window that wasn't working for me. And when it impacts you personally, you're able to go out and be living evidence of its success. And so we put more staff through that program over the years, and it impacts them. It even helps them in their job because they learn how to communicate with the inmates on that cognitive level, you know. Right. I know what you're thinking, and this is what's going wrong. What do you think?
Well, we're talking to Sergeant Tom Graham. He is in operations at our jail, and we'll be back in just a moment on Lincoln County Connections. We've got more to come, and stay with us. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. We are talking to Sergeant Tom Graham today. He's in operations and basically shares operations management with Sergeant Barbara Perry?
Correct, yes. And Sergeant Perry and I are the two operations sergeant in the jail.
And you had mentioned 20 years experience.
Yes.
I guess where I was going before we got into the Breaking Barriers coursework was how amazed I was when I took this mini tour of the jail. What a kind of a self-contained... I think I emailed you, said it's like an island there.
It is. We are an island.
So tell me, what are the biggest challenges for operations for you? You know, I guess that could be many things, but...
Our first job is to incarcerate people. People that have either been... Well, that people have been arrested for a crime, regardless of their status with the courts. And that's an important role that we play because, you know, in our society, people that pose a threat to our safety, we need to have somewhere to put them, and that's what a jail's for. And we need to be able to put them in a safe place. And a jail is a balancing act of making sure that we meet the first goal of incarcerating people and making sure that they're taken care of. You know, and we see things on TV all the time about inmate rights and how they get treated. And that's important to us because, you know, they're human beings.
Yeah.
They've made a choice, and it has a different set of consequences. So we work each day to make sure that we meet those standards of care and that we're having a positive impact on them because we want to turn someone out into society that goes out with a positive attitude,
right,
and prepared to make different choices.
You know, I had a family member who had went through, our jail, and, you know, one of the impressions they came away with, which is exactly what you're saying, was I felt like these people really cared about me. And that's not, I think, the stereotype perception of the facilities. And so that's something you guys have to work at, it sounds like.
We invest a lot of time in training for our staff in communicating. I mean, let's face it, that's the essence of our job. Everything we do, whether it be counseling an inmate for violating one of our rules to telling them when to eat, is all about communication. And if we can't do that in a positive, constructive manner, chaos ensues. You know, I mean, attitudes can flare, altercations happen, you know, and nobody wants to be told when to sleep, when to eat, you know. And that's what jail is. It's absolute control, you know. So we want our staff to be the most effective communicators they can. And we have a great group of people, and they are highly skilled in dealing with our clientele and dealing with their thinking processes.
You must have a somewhat of an art down to looking at candidates who can perform in this kind of environment in terms of your staff. And that's got to go over... For the most part, but do folks ever find that it's just not for them, even when they thought it was?
Yes, we've hired people, and after a period of time with us, they just realize that their personality traits just don't fit into the environment, and that's okay. I mean, it takes an incredibly special person to work inside of a jail or a prison. You're being asked to go in and work with people that don't want to be there. You know, they have lost their freedom, and they have had their general life privileges taken away, and it can be exhausting mentally.
Yeah, I mean, is there an acclimation period for individuals? Of course you want someone to never want to come back. Hopefully it changes their behavior, like, you know, I'm not going to break any laws,
right.
But is there an acclimation period where an individual for the first time comes into a facility and, you know, adjusts to, wow. I'm here.
Are you talking about a staff or an inmate?
Inmate.
Yeah, you know, and there's actually been some studies done. Believe it or not, probably the most effective part of incarceration is that first 3 hours. That's the most impacting on a human being because they have lost their freedom. They are contained in a room. They are not able to go where they want to go. And emotionally, it really does affect us. over time, we get used to just about anything. And, you know, for some people, coming to jail now is just a cost of doing business.
Jeez.
So they do get used to it.
Right.
They don't want to come to jail. But when they get there, they know how to slip into the system. They know how to establish themselves within our island and live within that community. So, but yeah, that first few hours, that's where we have impact on someone. The first time they've got arrested, you know, we can actually influence them a lot.
Well, you know, with the little time we have left, Tom, I you know, some of the programs that you're putting together, I know people want to know about government efficiencies, you know, how well we're doing things. And over the years, you guys have gone through, I think, tremendous constant evolution. But what are the programs that are exciting you right now that might bring revenue or, you know, things that are on your radar?
Well, one of my roles in operations is the technology in the jail. And we're constantly looking at new technologies to make sure that we can augment where we do not have a staff member. We today operate on fewer staff members than we did when we started in 1992.
Wow.
And technology has assisted us in making those budget reductions and remaining or even becoming more efficient. And it's really exciting because that's a balancing act. You can't put a machine where a human being needs to be, but you can give an employee a tool that will help them do their job and be more efficient at it. We just deployed a new commissary system. 1992, we went to the grocery store, we bought items, and we sold them to inmates. Today, we have kiosks in the pods. The inmates go up, they order what they would like to order for the week, and it's shipped in from an outside company, reducing the amount of time that we're actually involved. And we generate revenue off of that.
Interesting.
And that revenue goes to sustain inmate programs. In the future, we're looking at things like video visitation, allowing people to visit with their loved ones that are incarcerated from remote locations. Connection with family and friends is one of the most powerful tools we have to helping people change their behavior.
So family would be able to pay for that too, whichever.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you live in Albany and someone that you love is incarcerated in Lincoln County, you're challenged with driving over here on a weekend to visit them for 15 to 30 minutes. We could offer the same service using modern technology, internet connection, and for a fee, they could connect and have probably a longer visit, a more meaningful visit, and they would not have to leave their home. They would not have the expense of driving over here, and I'm going to say, and the risk of coming over here sometimes, depending on weather.
Sure. Well, they can't physically touch anyways, can they?
They cannot. They're actually behind glass.
So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and you know, and our belief is by going to this particular technology that we're actually going to be able to provide more visiting time. Currently, we're restricted to Saturdays and Sundays, and citizens are competing for those time slots to visit their family and friends. With video visitation, we would be able to probably offer more days and more time. So.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's an exciting, we're doing a lot of research right now to make sure that we pick something that's efficient. You know, there are a lot of things out there that people would like to sell government.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to find what's right for the citizens of the county that's cost effective and is going to do what we want it to do, which is become more efficient in our jobs.
Anything else exciting you got going on? I know you mentioned the email at one point.
Yes, we have several companies right now evaluating the ability to provide inmates with an email program. It'd be a very restricted system, but again, a loved one could send an email through a system to a jail server. It would be scanned for content and then delivered to the inmate through the kiosk, and the inmate for a fee could reply to that. And you know, because right now they're writing letters to the U.S. Post Office, postal rates are going up, you're limited to the speed of the postal service, you know, their communication flow there is largely restricted. You know, we've all become accustomed now to the internet and email, and it's a great tool that would allow, again, people to maintain their connections with their family on a daily, even hourly basis. And our goal would be to generate revenue off it to make it a self-sustaining system. Again, not costing the taxpayers, but improving our efficiency and meeting our goal of turning out a better person at the end.
So that human contact is crucial then.
Yeah, you know, if you can't maintain contact with your family and friends, and I think if people put themselves in that position, how much they depend on their family and friends for support and decision making, if you lose that, you start to lose hope. And when you lose hope, you continue to make those bad decisions. Sometimes people need that contact to heal relationships. Sometimes they need that contact for encouragement, you know. I know a lot of great parents out there that have had children go to jail, and they continue to be supportive and try to help their children make different decisions. Husbands, wives, you know, brothers and sisters are out there wanting their loved one to make different decisions.
The Building Bridges classes, watching that graduation with you and other staff members, was really humbling for me, because in the mingling period after the graduation, I really just felt like, whereas I was a little nervous initially, that these were just individuals who had challenges, and a lot of it was of those family missing some of those components.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, giving them tools, and I know we've only just got a couple minutes left, so maybe we can have you on the show again to talk about some of the other programs mm-hmm. that you're doing in there for inmates.
I'd be
because,
glad to. Yeah.
You know, I know that's, you know, really important. How much time we have left, Bob, anyways? 2 minutes. So any last thoughts you'd like folks to know about what they can expect or...
Well,
they can do.
You know, first of all, it's always the goal of the sheriff's office to make sure that every dollar given to us is used in an efficient and effective manner. So our goal is first to continue to incarcerate people as the law dictates, and the laws are set by the citizens. And to make sure that the people that we turn out are going out with a different set of beliefs on their windows. We want to make sure that we're given that full value. So we're going to continue to develop. We're going to continue to grow. We challenge ourselves every day to find those more efficient ways to do things to make sure that taxpayer dollar is spent wisely.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I encourage people to do is, if you have questions about our jail, come visit us. We give tours. We answer questions. We want the citizens to know what we do in that island in the middle of town, because it is really fascinating what your deputies are doing in there, you know. What is it they do? Well, come down, find out. We'll be glad to show you.
Well, thank you, Tom. And maybe we can feature some audio from the classes in the future, and, you know, really kind of illustrate and show people what's happening. I appreciate you on the program today. Once again, you've been listening to Lincoln County Connections. Join us next Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. We're going to have Will Summers on the program. He's from Workforce Oregon, and we're going to look at stats about workforce issues that are happening in our community. Thanks for listening, and